Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, from fake crypto schemes to WhatsApp stock fills promising overnight riches, investment scams in South Africa, I don't think I need to tell you, are really exploding. And I think they're getting harder to spot as well. Driven by economic desperation, clever marketing and social media influencers, often with no qualifications, more and more of us are being caught in traps, and it's costing us our savings, trust, and in some cases, future. So joining me now is Sean Kelly from Parity Wealth. He's going to help us tonight understand how these scams work, how to spot red flags, if in fact you can, and what to do if you or someone you know has been affected. So Sean, a very warm welcome. And maybe the starting point is maybe a contextual one. Why are we seeing such a sharp rise in these scams in South Africa right now?
Hi, Jeremy. Great to be on. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of it is out of desperation. And it's becoming increasingly prevalent in South Africa. And it's a combination of social, economic, technological, and regulatory factors. You know, if we look at the high unemployment rate, the expanded unemployment rate officially is now at 42%. And it creates financial desperation. And it makes individuals more susceptible to fraudulent schemes promising quick returns. We also have to look at the limited financial literacy. A significant portion of the population lacks adequate financial education, leaving them ill-exposed to discern legitimate investment opportunities from the fraudulent ones. And although South Africa has a robust financial regulations, enforcement inconsistencies and the emergence of these sophisticated scams can sometimes outpace the regulatory measures, allowing fraudulent schemes to flourish, which is like what we've seen.
So you use the word sophisticated. Are you able to tell me then about some of the more common scams that are doing the rounds at the moment and why specifically they are finding traction, why they're working?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see them so often. And what we really see, it comes down to the tactics they use. You know, often scammers use emotional tactics, and they're actually psychological tacticians. And they really appeal to our most basic instincts like fear, greed, urgency, and even, shame. So we see this often where they try to use exclusivity. They frame the opportunities as not available to everyone, triggering the fear of missing out. They use emotional storytelling, like scammers often, craft a compelling personal story of success narrative that creates a false sense of authenticity. And a lot of them are using social proof, which is basically fake testimonials, photos of luxury lifestyles, or even manipulated news coverage used to convince people, that everyone else is doing this. And, we've seen this, for example, like with CrowdOne, where they used, well-known rugby players and influencers with big market presence, media presences, to try influence people.
Sean, so often the collateral that we see is very sophisticated. I think I've used that word already. Very authentic. You've reviewed hundreds of these investment schemes. Is there a singular red flag or one or two red flags that people should be able to spot instantly, and that should rise the hackles?
Yeah, I think, the red flags are subtle at first, but become more obvious when you know what to look for. And, these are things, Jeremy, like guaranteed high returns with little or no risk. The fact is risk and return are inherently linked. And, for example, we saw the Ponzi scheme MTI, which guaranteed returns of 10% a month, and ultimately ended up being an estimated loss of around 13 billion rand. So guaranteed returns usually are a good indication. Often pressure tactics, scammers often create a false sense of urgency, pushing investors to act before the so-called opportunity disappears. And one of the biggest red flags is a lack of licensing or registration. It is so important to check whether the provider is licensed with the Financial Service Conduct Authority, known as the FSCA, or registered with the South African Reserve Bank for cross-border activity.
So let's assume then that you've done that, but maybe you have been scammed or you suspect someone has been. What's the recourse like? What's the first thing that they should do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in that event, time is really of the essence. The first thing to do is stop all communication immediately. And obviously, do not send any further funds. Try document everything. Emails, WhatsApps, messages, receipts, and voice notes. Of course, these can be used, you know, for legal proceedings. Inform your bank to flag any suspicious transactions and potentially look to freeze the affected accounts. And report the incidents to, you know, organizations like the FSCA, the South African Police, the South African Fraud Prevention Services, and of course, look to seek legal advice.
Do you think regulators are doing enough to crack down on these scams?
You know, I think it is. They are trying, but it's not just up to the regulators. It's up to the entire market. You know, I think a lot of issues is that once people are scammed, they face shame, embarrassment, and the fear of being judged is the biggest barrier to reporting these issues. And many victims blame themselves for being naive or greedy. You know, when in reality, the scams are, as you say, sophisticated and well-targeted. So it's not just the regulators to break the stigma. The market needs to shift the narrative. Victims should not be seen as careless, but as individuals caught in an evolving web of deception. And public awareness campaigns from regulators, from media platforms, and financial institutions should encourage reporting to protect others.
Regulation, I guess, is one thing, but it's also the capacity and the skill to investigate. Often that is something that is sorely lacking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, is that the scammers, what we've seen and the level of sophistication is actually outpacing what the regulators are able to keep up with. So it is so important for regulators and South Africa in general to invest in, you know, these protecting the consumer and actually trying to identify these scammers before they actually hit target the market.
So just a final one then, and maybe just a recap more than anything else. If a listener tonight is considering something which is flashy, it's a new opportunity, low risk, high return, what is your no-nonsense advice before they make any move at all?
Yeah, well, I think be deliberate. Ask yourself, do I fully understand this investment, its risks, and how it fits into my portfolio? If the answer is no, then speak to an independent, licensed, and regulated advisor who is legally obliged to act in your best interest. So there's no, you know, there's no harm in getting a second opinion. And never invest based on, you know, your emotions or fear of missing out. Remember, the greatest wealth strategies are built on patience, consistency, and informed decision-making. There are no shortcuts or guaranteed quick schemes to get rich.
I guess the best advice there as well is if it looks too good to be true, chances are it is. So we're going to leave it there, and thank you very much indeed for some very valuable advice. Just take care. So many people these days are being sucked into scams like this, and the results of the consequences can be very, very tragic. Sean Kelly, thank you so much indeed from Parity Wealth. I appreciate your time this evening.
Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs on MoneyWeb.